Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you all. Sabbath is definitely the best day of the week, right? Absolutely. Well, I hope you're all getting prepared for Sabbath. And then we get to prepare for the Holy Day, right? The Holy Day is not that far away. We have 4 weeks and 5 days before God keeps his holy Passover, which we'll be attending. On April the 14th, Thursday evening, as the sun sets, we who are baptized members will be keeping and partaking in God's holy Passover. God knows that you and I need the Passover. He knows that we need to look back down and re-examine ourselves every year. And in the order of the holy days and stuff, it's amazing. He put Passover first. It's number one. But that just shows how he knew mankind would sin. Because everybody sinned but his son who was perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. And because of him, that's why we have Passover, so he will intercede on our behalf. That we can be forgiven of our sins. As we take the Passover, it's all about Christ and what he did and how he lived. As we're preparing for Passover, we need to do four different things. There's more, but I'm going to pick out four things. Self-examination and study. Removal of physical leavening from our homes, cars, and etc. Repent of sins. Well, I'm sorry, I said self-examination and study. I want to be number three by itself. And then number four, repent of sins we may find in our lives as we prepare for Passover. Self-examination is sometimes hard to do. We as human beings like to look at somebody else sometime and say their problems, but we can only change our problems. And when we come before God, we are to examine ourselves according to Jesus Christ, who is perfect, and God, and see where we have fallen short in any way. In Hebrews 3:14, if you'll turn there, begin with. I thought Larry was going to go there for a minute, maybe, when he got into Hebrews 3, and I go, whoa. Okay, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we realize what Christ went through in physical life, we realize that he went through every temptation there was that mattered. And he never failed. He never failed. He was sent by his Father to do a job, and he did it. And by doing that job, you and I have an opportunity every year to partake of the bread and wine. And with that, we're asking Christ to remove our sins for the penalty he paid for each and every one of us. And he does. And because of that, we're here today. We're here as God's people, understanding his truth, growing in his wisdom and knowledge. And with that, we have to examine ourselves more and more. Because the more we know, the more we know we have to do. When we first came in, I'm sure if you're like many I knew and myself, it was so exciting. Larry was talking about how exciting it was, you know, and you just couldn't wait to do and just learn and learn and learn. And you were changing the whole time. Because that's what God wanted. God had opened our minds to understand that we have to be like Him, to have true happiness, true love, as He has for us His children. We have to grow in the grace and knowledge and be able to put His Spirit, His Holy Spirit in us to help us to become more like Him and to follow Jesus Christ's footsteps and be with Him as Christ is now, but we'll get to be with Him forever. We just need to finish the race. In Matthew 7:1-4, this is one of the problems that most of us have, probably the biggest problem with, when you get right down to it. It is such an easy thing that Satan uses to tempt each and every one of us. And that's tempting us to look at others and not ourselves. And as you know, it's a pretty big thing when he calls the others a speck and he calls yours a plank. A speck is something very small you can hardly see. But boy, a plank you can see right away. It's wide enough you can walk on. And that's what we have to do. And this is what Passover is all about, is looking at that plank in our own eye. Making sure we're getting rid of it more every year. It says, we're not to judge. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? We really must consider that plank, it's in our eyes. Believe it or not, we must be able to see it. And a lot of times we're blind to ourselves because we do not want to face reality. We always want to think, oh, I'm pretty good. Well, pretty good isn't good enough. God wasn't sending Christ to die for us to be pretty good. We are to become good. We are to become good servants of the living God and good children for God. And we have to ask God for help and guidance to do that all the time. As it says in verse 4, oh, how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck out of your eye? And look at a plank in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye. Then we will see clearly to remove the speck from the brother's eye. And when we do that, you see, well, once we've turned to ourselves and see our problems and see how we've had to overcome them, the speck in the other person's eyes we can do with love, not condemnation or thinking you're better than them. We have to realize we are all human and we all sin. Christ's sacrifice and death, we are able to be forgiven. How forgiving am I? Hopefully I get better every year. But you know, I'm still not perfect, and neither are you. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have had to die. But because of His death, you and I have an opportunity to be in God's kingdom forever. What a blessing, what a love that God has for us, and what love that Jesus Christ gave. Now, when we're self-examining ourselves, we go back to the laws of God, which are in Exodus 23 and that. I won't go through them. We'll do the short version of it, which is the same thing. It's just condensed. If you turn with me to Mark 12:29. You've heard this many times. Verse 28, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus Christ answered, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now as it's Passover time, you notice sermonettes and sermons are intertwining to a degree because we're trying to come at it from different angles and different ways to help us all understand what we need to work on because we're the ones who need to be changing and growing. We are to come out of this world is basically what we're understanding when we self-examine ourselves. If you go with me to Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's exactly what we're told. We are to come out of this world. We're not to be a part of it. We're in it. But we're not to become a part of it. Because if you look at the world today we're in, it has drastically changed in the last how many weeks? People are talking about World War III, talking about nuclear bombs. This hasn't been talked about for years and years. It shows the unrest of Satan. You know, because God is coming back and Satan knows it. And he's not wanting them to come back. He likes causing misery in your life and my life and the whole world's life and confusion. And yet God has called you and I out to understand and have the peace of mind and understanding that we can go forth with confidence. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The more we study, the more we understand, the more we grow. I won't go to it, but go to Galatians, put down Galatians 6:4 and verse or two after and read it also. Self-examination is something we need to really look at in our lives because that's how we improve. When we see the problem that we have and we ask God for help, we can overcome because He's there. Now the next thing we want to bring up is about removing the physical leavening from our homes, cars, and etc. That gets to be quite a chore, doesn't it, sometimes? Man, I remember the first time I came in church, man, we used to tear seats out of cars. I mean, we'd take the seats out of the cars, and I mean, we would just go everywhere. And it was like, I'm going to find that last little speck of crumb of leavening there is because I'm going to do it right. I'm going to be righteous. You know what? Over the years, I'm not quite as strong heading for that leavening sometimes. And I hope that none of us will get so we don't think it's important. It is very important. See, sometimes we get lax after years and years. You know, so, well, I've done that. I've pretty well taken care of that. Well, sorry to say, once in a while, I found some stuff after the days of unleavened bread or during the days of unleavened bread. Put on a coat that I may have hadn't, you know, wore for a while, and guess what? There's a cracker in there. And you're going, oh man, you got to be kidding me. Oh, why didn't I check that coat? Oh, when I first started, I would have checked the coat. I would have checked my shoes. I would have checked everything, you know, because I wanted to be perfect and getting rid of sin. We need to have that. You and I, when we do cleaning, we need not to get lax. We need to make sure that we go at it with it. We're putting sin out of our lives. God is having us to look for sin. And that little speck that you found back there, well, that's not that much. What did he tell you about leavening? If you leave it there, it's going to grow. And it's going to become a problem. But we need to hunt. That's a physical sin. But God wants us to get rid of the sin so that our minds are, I do not want sin in my life. God has told me to what? Get rid of sin, to repent and walk in His footsteps of His Son, Jesus Christ, right to Him. And when we do the physical, it makes us think of the spiritual. Because then you go back and you read more. And you say, I have done the best job I can. And ask God, say, if I haven't, please show me. Just as we ask Him to show our spiritual sins. So us. That's what we ask before the Passover. We're looking, saying, show me what I haven't repented of. Show me what I need to see. Because there again, it's easy not to look at yourself real closely. But we are the only ones we can change. And that's why God tells us to examine ourselves, to get the sin out of our lives. And we have 7 days that He keeps pointing that out. 7 days afterwards, telling us, eat unleavened bread. Put sin out of your life. Be aware of the sin. 7 days in a row. 7 days. He wants us to remember every day as we eat the unleavened bread. And if you're like me, I have matzo, so I hear a little cracking in that. Think of all the pain Christ suffered for you, for me, and for the whole world. And because of His strength, because of His love, and because of His sacrifice, and the Father's sacrifice, asking the Son to sacrifice His life so we could be forgiven, you and I have that opportunity to be with Christ when He returns. What a blessing that'll be. Can you imagine? So we have to make sure that we remove the physical also. That it makes us, as we're doing that, saying, I'm doing this so that I hope that I will use this to look at myself. And I got that little sucker in the corner. I got him. He's gone. And I'm not going to let him grow in me. Because if we don't take care of the sin, it does grow. We can kid ourselves. We can play games. But if we don't take care of it, the quicker we take care of it, the less pain we're going to have from it. Because we're starting to walk the straight and narrow, and we're walking in Christ's footsteps. And that leads us directly to God and to God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's why we're here. We're here to become of a family of God. And His plans aren't going to stop just when we get there. We're going to see things we've never thought of. We're going to see and understand what He's got His whole plan about. There is so much excitement that day. If we're raised with Christ together and we see each other, aren't we going to be happy? Those we've lost, we'll go, hey, it's like a big reunion. God's family reunion. And then we're going to be put to work. But we got to be there. And this is why we have the Passover. Because through this way, through Christ's sacrifice, you and I have that opportunity to see ourselves at the end of a year, every year, and prepare to look at ourselves even closer. We may have overcome so much, but sometimes when you overcome so much, you forget and let something go by. You say, well, it wasn't that bad. It was just a little, you know. Nothing's ever little. If you don't take care of a sore, it just gets worse. You know, you ever had a boil? Well, I had a boil and I got them and they went carbuckles. They went four together. Well, let me tell you, a carbuckle has four of them in there. And I want to tell you, when they pulled that thing, I could feel them, it was in my neck. And I want to tell you what, it felt like they was pulling a a rod out of my neck when they pulled those things out. The thing was about half the size of my finger, or my little finger. But that's pretty thick coming out of your neck. I had four of them, four carbuncles. They were horrible. I was walked around like this for 3 months until they finally come to a head. And you know how I got that carbuncle? From doing something I loved. Playing football. And probably didn't clean the helmet good enough. If they'd told me that was the reason, I'd have said, boy, why didn't I ever clean that helmet back there after sweating and everything all day? You know. But that's what you and I have to do. We have to make sure we don't let something grow that becomes a real problem, which could threaten us to walk away and leave God. Because God's will is going to go on. If we leave God, if we quit, we lose. If we finish the race, if we continue to look at ourselves and grow, we win the race. We are having eternal life with the living God and His kingdom and everything that it takes. That's why we need to make sure that we self-examine ourselves. And that's why we need to get rid of the leavening out of our lives. In Exodus 13:11-15, we'll read this for the physical because it talks about it. Exodus 13:11-15. What did I do? 11:13. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got the wrong verse, ain't one. I'm trying to figure where I'm at. Yeah, okay. I was in the wrong chapter, I'm sorry. It's 12:15, I'm sorry. No, that's not right. Well, it's what I really want, though. Huh? 13:3. Well, let's go down here to verse 13:7. It's talking about unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavening bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among any in your quarters. Yeah, I think you're right. 13, thank you. 13:3. And Moses said on 13:3, he said, Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of the place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep his service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day there shall be a feast. We are being prepared as we remove the physical leavening out of our lives to walk in righteousness. Because we're walking as Christ wants us to walk. We're walking without the vanity, the greed, the lust. We're obeying His laws. We're loving the living God. We're loving His Son who gave His life for us. And we've learned through God to love one another and to love our neighbors. And I saw a thing in the paper today, a lady sent out on Facebook, and I'm not sure I got it completely right, but it was very fitting for this time of year. It said something, I'm not sure I got to paraphrase, this is not perfect, I should have wrote it down. It said, you know, it isn't whether you get along well with other people or agree with other people that you've been basically called to God's way of life. It's if we, in our way of life, in serving God, leave a little seed that God can work with either now or later. Are we that type of an example? We are to be an example, not only to each other, but we're to be an example to the world. And I thought that pretty well summed it up. How many seeds are we dropping when we meet people? The other day, at meeting Willard Troutman's daughter and them, when I met her, she was telling me that she had fought her dad for 30-some years about the Sabbath and everything else. And she said, the last 2.5 or 3 years, I realized Dad was right. I proved it to myself. And I did Willard's funeral the other day. A few people were there. So you got to hear her speak. And she did an excellent job. She went through some of Willard's notes and gave a perfect funeral sermon about death and not to be afraid of it. It was an excellent. And I started to give and say, well, I'm done. I don't need to say anything. But I wanted to give hope. But she gave at least a 10-minute or 12-minute, I'd said sermonette. I suppose to give a sermon after that. No, I suppose to give speaking. But I gave the hope of tomorrow for him and preaching and teaching about what's coming. And they had an opportunity to be with him again. And hopefully that through the experience that he had given to them, that they would be there when Christ returned. Because he would be looking to see if they were there. Just as you and I will be looking to see our family and friends if I'm there, or if you're there. Because we want everybody to be there. We want us all to have the happiness that God has promised. And it will be. Third thing I want to talk about is study. It is so important in our lives. And during this Passover time, it's a good time to go back and read John 13 through John 17. That's just part of it. There's other areas you can read. But that's what Christ is saying. Those chapters are very important. We read them at Passover, a lot of it. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told what? We're basically told to study and show ourselves approved. When we study, we learn. If we're doing it with the right attitude, and if we're seeking God's way, our minds will be opened. Isn't it amazing? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that dumb. But anyhow, do you learn more every time you read the Bible? I'm sure we do. I do. I've read the Bible many times. I'm going like, wow, how come that jumped out at me today? It never jumped out at me, you know, last time I was read that area. But see, every day, the more you and I are learning, the more God will allow us to grow. And that's why we're to study. We are to study to prove ourselves to God that we are willing to do His will. We know that sin only ends one way. I'll just refer to them, two passages, Romans 3:23 and to 2:26. And Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. If we don't repent, if we don't change, we don't overcome and look at ourselves and get rid of sin in our lives, we won't be in God's kingdom. That's why God gives us the opportunity every day to repent, but He makes us really focus on it for Passover, to making sure we're finding anything that's in one of those cracks or in the little thing there that you just didn't really realize what it was doing to you. And He didn't want it to infest in us and get bad. And maybe even take us out of His kingdom. Because we'll get so involved in something. There are so many things that you can get into that are wrong today. I mean, this world is turned upside down. This is not God's world. It's Satan's world. God's going to come redo it and bring His holy temple down, His city, Jerusalem. And it's going to be beautiful. And there will be no more sinning. Can you imagine a world without sin? Try to do that. Try to think that there'll never be another person who will be angry, there'll be another person who will steal, another person who will kill. I mean, you start thinking everything that happens, never a wrong thought. What a blessing we have to know God's truth and to be called now. We can count our blessings every day. And we need to count our blessings. Because we can have peace of mind that the world cannot have. They're talking about Third World War. How worried are you about it? I don't like that it could happen. But you know, I know that it's just a thing we have to go through maybe. Hopefully we're not going to be here at that time. Hopefully be protected. But if not, if we're serving God, and we have to give our lives even, we have the peace of knowing that if we do, we'll be raised and be with Jesus Christ at His return. The world doesn't know anything about that. You talk to people, they have no hope. They have no idea what's going to happen. They are in a tizzy. We don't have to be. We can look in God's Word and He gives us comfort. He gives us strength. So what a blessing it is that you and I have that opportunity. You know, I've talked about it many times before. I'll just mention it. In Matthew 5:14-16, we're to be the lights of the world. That's what God has called us to be. Our light is to shine to others. We're to be that light with a seed that they'll want to know why we have this. Why we aren't going crazy or what's going on in the world. We have pain. We feel for the people. I mean, I see some of those things on TV. I mean, you can't. I mean, you may. I can't. Someone's been in a war, maybe you can understand seeing people being able to do that to each other. But we've been blessed here in the United States. We never had a war here, except for North and South. But we do have a war every day with Satan and his influence on each and every one of us. And upon the nation, as we see it, going farther and farther away from God. And the blessings of the nation will be taken farther and farther away. Because we're blessed when we obey. We're not blessed by doing the opposite. Most people in the country are trying to not even, if you mention God, you're in trouble. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, why would you do that? Because they have no hope. Because God has opened their mind. And those who do know know something, you know, they don't know the whole thing, but they will. But we have gotten a society now that is used to doing whatever the government tells you. And you got to remember, God is number one. God is number one. Because one of these days it may get down to it. That you'll have to stand up to doing God's will over what man says you have to do. We have to be that strong. We have to know God's word. They may try and do away with God's word. They've done it over the many years. Years ago, but God always preserved his word that is still here today. And you and I are blessed to be able to have it. Christ died for each and every one of us. And the whole world. You see, God loves all his children. We're just blessed to be able to be called and obeyed and change and do what he says and understand what to do. With that, we're going to be blessed beyond our belief. Because he has taken a small seed in us. And we could be like the mustard plant. That's the biggest plant there is. And we say, oh, no, not me. Who's me? God had a plan for you and you and you and me. He has a plan for us to fulfill. He has a position for you. All we have to do is make sure that we trust and obey and serve God. Repent and follow Jesus Christ. And always put God first in our lives. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, you want the kingdom of God because I want to be in the holy city of Jerusalem. I hope you all do too. I'm sure that's what we're looking forward to, being with God the Father. And his righteousness, which is his laws. And we got to have them in our hearts and mind and do them. And we're what? To love God with all of our heart and all of our might. And love our neighbors. And treat people as you want them to treat you. In this world, sometimes it's hard. But we have to build that character. The character of the living God and his Son. Next thing we have to make sure we do is we need to be sure we look at ourselves and repent. There's more. But this is what we have to do. In 1 John 3:8, if you read that with me, it's kind of... tells us every time in 1 John 3:8. Well, let's go back to 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And in verse 9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. His seed remained in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. And this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. You and I are to be of love. If you turn with me to one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 51, David, I've used it many times because to me it's one of the finest. So you figure this man was a king. But what he had to go through before he became a king. And look what he accomplished. God guided and directed him the whole way. Yes, he made mistakes, but he repented. And Psalms 51, it says here, I'll read the first about 13, I think 13, maybe 14. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight. There's no hiding. He understood that. That you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin, in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean, or I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a righteous, new a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David knew about the Holy Spirit. Not many people in the Old Testament talk about the Holy Spirit. He knew he had help. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. That's the opportunity you and I are going to have in God's kingdom during the millennium. And maybe after. I don't know what else is going on, what God has planned, but at least in that. And sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousnesses. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire a sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That's one of the most inspirational prayers, in my opinion. It's one of the top ones of mine. But it shows you had a man who was so powerful and did so much, but he knew who was his strength. He knew who had forgiven him, and he knew where to go to ask for forgiveness. In Revelation 3, after you heard about the churches, here's what God said to him. This is what Christ said to him. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten them. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let you and I be prepared for Passover as best we can. Looking for that small crumb. Looking at the plank in our own eye. Let's be sure we're studying. Growing closer to God. Repenting of our sins. Of leavening we may have found in our life. Let's repent and be the seed that God can use to help others and also to be the light that God wants us to be. We're to be a light to this world. May we truly have a good Passover. May we truly have a good Days of Unleavened Bread. Let you and I be prepared for Passover and 7 days of unleavened bread. As we love and obey our God through repentance and keeping his Passover and eating unleavened bread, pictured being aware of sin and putting it and keeping it out of our lives. God forgives our sins through Jesus Christ's shed blood. God has called us to be a part of his family forever. Let's do our part. Love, obey our God and meet Christ when he returns and be a part of his kingdom forever.